The Bloody Married Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Bloody Married Podcast, where we talk about all things horror while drinking Bloody Marys. Oh, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Tammy, and we're totally married. Tonight, we are drinking Bloody Marys using Warrior Vodka made here locally in Spokane, Washington. And the mix is Master of Mixes Loaded Bloody Mary Mix and a few garnishes.
Yeah. Back to the Warrior Vodka made in Spokane. We try to support local when we can. I think it'd be cool in the future if we make our own mixes or pickle our own ingredients like asparagus and pickles and eyeballs and fingers and toes, maybe even dicks.
Ooh, pickled dicks.
Pickled dicks and our Bloody Marys.
Pickled dicks with our Bloody Marys. Welcome to our podcast.
Hi. And another thing too, this is not a spoiler-free podcast. We're going to talk about things. We're just going to talk about everything. We're going to end up spoiling things all the time.
So. Right. So if you don't like spoilers, then you should probably not listen.
Yeah. Just get out of here. Leave. Or stay. Please stay, because we would like it if you listen.
I mean, totally stay, yeah.
I guess we could hit on a few things that we have going on in our little world of horror. I have some short films coming up soon, or we do, from the production company. JJH Productions. JJHProductions.com. We're back into the world of Mr. Dark, which is a web series that I created a few years ago, and we've have a couple out right now. Mr. Dark Field of Screams is our most successful one, and that took awards and things like that. But I've jumped back into that. We have some more coming soon, so keep an eye out.
Yeah, they're super fun.
Yeah.
And so in 2019 came and went, and
it did.
There was a lot of good theatrical horror flicks. So we are in 2020, but we've decided to go over our top five favorite and top five worst horror movies that we've seen.
Of 2019. Yeah. And there are some good ones and some really shitty ones this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this will be fun. Well, let's start with... we're going to start with our top five. We'll start on a positive note.
All right.
On a positive note, overall, there was a lot of horror this year in theaters.
There was.
Which is good. If they suck, it's all subjective. They're good, I think that there's more horror now coming back to the theaters is a really good thing.
Which is dope.
Yeah, because I think it was pretty much every month there was a horror movie at least that we could go see.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's start with our top five.
Okay.
For it.
All right. Number five, we have Pet Sematary, the remake, directed by Kevin Kolsch and Dennis Windermere. Saying the names wrong.
I'm not going to be getting any of these last names right. but this is a director duo, and they made Starry Eyes, Valentine's Day segment and holidays, and a few episodes of Scream Season 3, which was not a good season at all. So.
Oh, Scream Season 3 was not, yeah. And that'll be a future podcast. That will be a future podcast.
But Pet Sematary, the remake, I thought it was fun. I was entertained. I liked the actors. Jason Clarke and Emily Siemets, or whatever, however you say her name. I don't know.
No idea.
She's good. I like seeing her in things. John Lithgow, he's always a treat.
He's always entertaining, yeah. No matter what he's in.
I liked the atmosphere of this one.
I did too.
And I liked the ending.
I loved the ending.
I think what the movie was lacking, if it was, lacking anything throughout it, that ending really made up for it in my mind. It was a pretty dark ending.
It was.
It was fun.
Fun and dark.
Like they all died, right? Or they all became...
They all became little zombie dead people.
Pet cemetery dead people.
Right.
Yeah. Even the kids.
Yeah. The whole family.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, positive note, they were together as a family.
Yeah. That's nice.
In the afterlife.
Family values.
Total family values, going off murdering people, I'm assuming.
Mm.
They're not going to just
hopefully
call it a day.
Yeah. What did you like about Pet Sematary? Why is it on the list?
I liked it because the ending. I really enjoyed the ending. I like dark fucked up things, and I think that was a fun little treat at the end.
Yeah.
And the acting was really well, and it was sufficiently creepy, I think.
Yeah.
Little kids in horror movies are always creepy, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did you like it?
I think just the acting. I liked all the actors pretty much in this. The environment it created was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It strayed. It veered from the first film.
It did.
The original. Like, it took a few turns. I don't know. I liked it. I liked the ending a lot. You know, that's pretty much it. I was entertained by it. I enjoyed the ending. It was a entertaining horror film to see in the theater.
It was.
Yeah.
All right. Number four.
Well, number four is Annabelle Comes Home, directed by Gary Dauberman. He's a first-time director, I found out when looking this up.
Really?
But he wrote, like, a lot of the Conjuring World movies. He wrote, I think, all the Annabelles, and he wrote the screenplay for It and It 2.
Really?
So this was his first time directing one of them.
All right.
And I think he did a pretty good job.
I think he did a great job. I really like that universe they created, and they're really good at creepy.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy creepy.
Yeah, I think for the most part, this one, you know, a few of those Conjuring World movies are misses, you know, for sure.
A couple of them.
Like The Nun.
The Nun wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, but this one, I think, and this is where a lot of horror films, I think, succeed, is they pretty much kept it in one location.
Right, just the house.
Like, a lot of it took place in that house, which is pretty cool. And the kids, the younger actors did a good job, actresses.
Oh, yeah. All the ladies in that did a great job.
And then I like that Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson, they had small parts in it.
Right.
Yeah, which was neat. It was cool for them to come and...
come in at the end. And
yeah. Well, I think they were
beginning,
at the beginning
and the end.
In the end, yeah.
No, I really enjoyed... I like, generally, most of... I like all the Annabelle movies. Mm-hmm. One of the Annabelle movies was on my favorite.
Your favorite list. Horror movies of all time.
So, yeah. And the women kicking butt, the girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was good to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Why did you like it?
Same thing. Yeah. The acting, directing, atmosphere.
Yeah.
I liked the world. It was creepy. I'm a sucker for those single location films. So that worked for me. Yeah.
All right, so number three.
Ooh, number three.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Ah!
So that is directed by...
Yeah, have
we're
fun.
Just going to say Andre. And
good old Andre.
Good old Andre. And he also directed Troll Hunter and The Autopsy of Jane Doe, which was also a really great movie.
Yeah, Emile Hirsch and that older actor's name, I cannot remember.
Can't remember his name, but yes.
Good.
Very good. Anyways, and it is starring Zoe Coletti, Michael Garza, and Dean Norris, among others.
Mm-hmm.
If you grew up when we grew up in the 80s, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, I mean, those are fun books to read. I have them.
Yeah.
I think we have about three sets of them in our home.
We both came with those. As I remember, I got mine when I was in grade school, when they had, I don't know if they still have it, the Scholastic book thing where
was awesome.
You get the pamphlet and then you like check off the books you want and then your parents pay for it. And then like maybe a month later, they're on your desk when you come to school.
Right.
And it was like all these like kid books. And then Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is on the list.
Yeah.
So thinking back, it's kind of, it's fun.
That's super fun. And I think they did a really, really great job bringing that book and those stories to life. They were gross with the spider. The scarecrow. Like, it was just really, it was great. It was creepy. It brought what the imagination that I had when I was growing up reading them to life. And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like they did a really good job with the prosthetics of the creatures.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was cool that they told a new story inside of those stories. Like, they just didn't do the scary stories that were in the book, but they wrote something new for the through story.
Right.
About the young girl. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. And then hopefully at number two. I think they set it up for a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And that one had a good environment. I like that it was set in the 60s. That was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah. Time capsule pieces are cool.
I love time capsule pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I liked it. There was that scene where that the bigger lady kept appearing in hallways.
Oh, right.
And closer and closer and closer. That was creepy.
That was creepy. I like that. They did a great job on that. The whole thing was great, but it was definitely bringing the artwork to life.
Yeah.
And it was pretty great.
Yeah. Cool. Let's move on to number two, which was. For the top two, I had to defer to my wife to pick the order because I think they're both equal. But anyways, number two was Crawl. Really great film. I really enjoyed it. It's one of my favorite ones of the year. Brain fart.
Right.
Directed by Alexander Aja. I don't know how you say his last name. But he directed High Tension, Hills Have Eyes remake, Mirrors, Horns. Ooh, he's
horns.
A really fun horror director. And this one leaned more into the kind of thriller survivalist aspect of a horror movie.
Right.
But it was still really good.
our dog
is upstairs barking, trying to get in right now. So let's just continue on. Hopefully don't hear him. Anyways, Crawl. It makes sense because there's a dog in the movie and our dog's up there barking.
Right.
Yeah.
There could be alligators upstairs. Who knows? I really was pleasantly surprised by Crawl. When you're like, I really want to see this. I'm like, great. An alligator movie. Cool. And I thought, I didn't really know anything about it. And I thought that it was probably, I had anticipated some like mutated,
like
Lake Placid.
Lake Placid Sharknado type scenario.
And it wasn't. But it was pretty like, I suppose if you live in that region, that could actually happen.
Yeah, yeah, no. Yeah.
And the tension was great. It rose really well with the, like you were saying earlier, the water level.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog survived. Like there was a lot of tension for the poor puppy.
I'm glad the dog
got eaten, but he did not.
Yeah, and the dog's real name is So-So. It's spelled P-S-O-P-S-O in real life. He played Sugar. This movie was really cool, and this is also an example of a relatively contained film. The majority of it takes place in a house.
Right.
And like it starts in the basement, and the terror rises as the water rises.
Yeah.
And really strong performances by Kaya Scodelario? Is that how you say her last name?
Sure. We'll go with that. And good old Barry Pepper.
Barry Pepper popped in. Like, I don't know what he does, but I don't see him in much. And every now and then he'll just pop in and do something. But he did a really good job. They did really well together. I like the simplistic storytelling.
Oh,
it was very effective. All the things that she learned in life about swimming, she used it here.
That's where her whole life training for swimming and trying to get that medal and chasing that gold actually I mean, if we're talking universe reason, for that reason.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, she thought, if I'm not mistaken, she thought she was a failure for like not winning things or something.
Right, I think so.
But she was actually, like you said, universally, she trained to survive this and to like save her father and to save the dog and to live and to reform the broken connection between her and her dad too, I think.
Right.
Was the main thing in that. And there's some really cool gore and some cool kills.
Oh, there is some and great kills
they
and some
did
gore
a good,
in there.
Good job with the alligators too, digitized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't look too phony. It was really, I was extremely pleasantly surprised when we left that movie.
Yeah. And I hope that actress does more horror.
I hope she does too.
Mm. So, what's our number one?
All right, our
film,
number one
horror film of the year. Drum roll. Cheers.
So,
here, we got cheer for it.
Yeah. Cheers.
Number one horror film of the year.
So, our number one is Ready or Not.
Ready or Not.
That was directed by Matt
Matt something.
Good old Matt and Tyler.
Tyler. Matt and good old Matt and Tyler. Dudes down the street. Yeah, they directed Devil's Due, Southbound, segment of VHS, and kind of a bunch of short films. This is the biggest thing they've done. And it was really entertaining.
Oh my gosh, it was so entertaining. And Samara Weaving,
yes,
is amazing. I love her.
She is a rising star.
She's huge. She's gonna get love her.
Big prominent roles in the future. But I really hope that she every now and then sticks to her horror roots and will
keep doing this kind of stuff every now and then. Her reactions and her comedic timing and her just badassness altogether was so great.
You definitely needed an actress like her that can pull off the comedic timing and the realism.
Right.
And to be terrified. You had to go through a few kind of emotions with her, but keep it on a fun level too.
Right.
I mean, like her aesthetic, she had like the bridesmaid dress on with her Converse.
Right.
It's just that visual is her character.
And the cast was so good. Adam Brody, Andy McDowell.
And there's that older guy. I don't know his name, but he's in a lot of things all the time.
He's always the rich asshole dad or the villain, the rich asshole villain on things, which he continued to be in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was so great. It was funny. I love the premise of like, you know, they have to play this game and she's like, hide and seek. Okay.
Yeah.
And then him not telling her like, hey, they have to kill you and
hey, this
sacrifice you so our family can go on. But you know, you agreed to marry me. Fuck you, dude.
Right?
Like you were. I think he did say, "Well, you did agree to marry
me." Yeah,
Well, I agreed to marry you because I loved you. You clearly left out the part where your family, was going to murder and sacrifice me, or there could be a possibility.
There's a possibility of it, and he was just hoping that it didn't happen.
Right.
Yeah.
He was just hoping that it didn't happen. Although I think.
But then,
if I remember correctly, like the brothers and sisters, their spouses, it didn't come up. So I would be thinking, in a game of odds, the odds were pretty good that she was going to be sacrificed.
Yeah, totally.
So
our dog keeps barking.
He wants to be down here mingling.
Maybe we should just let him. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. That I just love that whole thing. And I loved at the end where they're like, we have to kill you or we'll all die. And she's like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then sunrise comes up and then they all just start exploding. And that was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Well, because it gets to the point where, you know, the movie is designed to where it's either they just believe that this is happening and it's not. And they're just killing people. Mm-hmm. Or the myth is real. And then they get to the end and then suddenly, like, she just gets hit with a whole bunch of blood. And then as an audience member, you're like, well, what the fuck just happened? And then you see another person's head explode. Heads are just exploding.
Right. Everyone just keeps...
because they didn't sacrifice her and dawn came.
Right.
And the curse was real. And at the end of it, she's just covered in blood, sitting on the steps, smoking a cigarette, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
While the police are coming. Like, have fun telling that story.
Right. I want to know how you explain the bodies combusting, you covered in blood and dirt and mud, and she's got probably some broken bones.
Yeah.
Like, how do you explain that?
Yeah. Well, it was
on her wedding night, nonetheless. Like, how do you explain? And they're rich and prominent game makers, so.
Was she the only one to live?
Because everyone else just, all the maids and stuff kept getting killed off. They did. On accident. That's where my brain, like, I loved it in the end. Then my brain's like, how the fuck is she going to explain this?
I mean, are they really going to think that she just murdered all of those people in the house? I think there'd be enough evidence inside that house to recognize some kind of foul play went on.
Right.
Yeah. But no, isn't she?
They
got married, so it's hers.
All of it's there. Well, that's another layer. Did she kill them all for the money? But then how do you make an entire family just combust?
Yeah.
Because they literally just combusted.
Yeah.
So.
But it was a good movie. Another case of one location and they pulled it off really well.
Yeah.
It was constructed well and it didn't go too long. I think a lot of good horror movies, they don't have a long run time. Like, no. Keep it at the hour and a half mark. But yeah, those are our top five horror movies of the year. 2019, those are the ones that we thought were good enough to make our list.
Right.
And then let's throw out a... what's it called?
An honorable mention.
That thing. An honorable mention to Zombieland 2. That was entertaining.
That was so... That was super
entertaining. It was fun. It was cool to see after like 10 years them come back and do it.
Right.
If you like the first one, you'll pretty much like the second one. They do their job to entertain you very well.
Oh, very well.
Not so much horror, though. There were zombies in it, but it was more of just a... It was a road trip movie about a family.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. An unconventional family.
If we had a six, it would probably be number six.
Right.
But yeah, let's get on to like the meat, our worst films of the year.
Okay.
What's number five, wife of mine?
Well, husband of mine. Our number five is actually It Too.
Yep.
Directed by Andy, good old Andy.
Andrew. Mr. Drew.
Yes.
Yep.
And you know, starring Bill Skarsgård, Bill Hader, James McAvoy, Jessica Chastain.
Mm-hmm.
The cast was amazing, and on paper
it was amazing.
Yeah,
in theory,
it was amazing, but executed, it was.
They did not have good chemistry together.
It was
that movie wasn't bad. I mean, I'd watch it again. It was bad. it wasn't good.
I didn't like the kids' weird ass CGI faces. They made
some bad choices.
Just let them be the age that they were when you shot the second one, quite frankly, because the faces were weird.
Mm.
And if you're going to do it, you better do it right.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it right. So that was weird. It kind of took you out of the flashbacks, I think. It was distracting. The chemistry between the cast was just, it was not good. It was disappointing.
There wasn't enough clown, and the clown wasn't scary at all.
No.
He wasn't too terrifying in the first one, but it was, we've talked about this before. The first one was scarier because it was happening to kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in the world and you're in the mindset of kids the entire time. There's no flash forwards to adults.
Right.
So it was contained with kids, and that was a fun movie. And I think where the sequel messes it up is that they don't really have... It's not scary with the adults.
No.
This clown isn't terrifying to them.
No. They're more like, what the fuck... Is this once they remember?
Yeah,
like we gotta take care of him.
Yeah, and I think the miniseries had the advantage, the original It,
because
it was one film,
right?
And so throughout the whole film, they're jumping from kids to adults, kids to adults, kids to adults,
and it builds
so they can manage that scary tension,
right?
With a flow all the way through it, and this one a lot of that was lost because it was predominantly all the adults, so there's not really any tension there.
Right.
Yeah.
And agreed.
This is kind of an example of, it would have been better if they strayed away from the source material, which a lot of Stephen King purists will be like, no, stick to your source material. But I think taking liberties every now and then, if you're trying to make a good film. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I was not impressed.
Me either.
It went too long.
It was way too long.
I liked like that one scene where Bill Hader goes dead from the deadlights. That was about it. Where he goes,
right.
That was my favorite part, when one of the characters was dead and not saying anything, floating in the air. Okay.
Way to go, Bill Hader.
And we'll jump on to number four, and four is Rob Zombie's Three from Hell, which was just disappointing because...
So disappointing.
I am a Rob Zombie fan.
I am also a Rob Zombie fan.
I love his movies up until recently.
Right.
And I love Devil's Rejects. I love House of a Thousand Corpses. Devil's Rejects, I think, is his best film. The characters, what he did with that, were amazing. And Three from Hell just dropped the ball in every aspect. They went in the wrong direction. The characters weren't funny. They weren't fun. They weren't entertaining. The story was stupid.
Yeah, I didn't... We've talked about this.
Yeah.
Aside from this podcast, but the story wasn't good at all. The only hint of enjoyment I got was Baby. She did, in moments, a good job of being crazy for being stuck in prison for so long.
Yeah.
But otherwise, not the... The weird clown that came to the door, to the
It was just to include a clown because Sid Haig passed away and he couldn't be in it, probably.
Right, but why?
Yeah.
Why?
That movie was a big why. I think that kind of sums up the movie, is why. Like, why did you make it?
Right.
I mean, you have this huge fan base, and there's a lot of Rob Zombie purists that are saying, it was a good movie. And I give him credit for, I think he made it relatively on his own without like studio interference and stuff like that.
Right.
Which I understand that, having creative control. But I do believe that Rob Zombie's at a place now where he might benefit from having some studio interference.
Right.
And some studio money. And maybe a script supervisor.
Yeah, I just... There's so many better ways they could have... Three from Hell.
There's so many ideas. You could go the route where... Three from Hell, where they're actually from Hell, because in Devil's Rejects you see them die, they get shot, and then so in this they just, oh no, they're fine, they had surgery and they lived and now they're in jail, oh they got out, now they're just on the run. That's right. Not fun. Because there was no story,
right? And then you add that one dude that you don't like.
Yeah, I mean,
as a brother that no one knew about.
Whatever. Yeah, he just showed up to fill in. Yeah. There's just so many things I could have done. Like, you could have, Three from Hell, you could have went a more supernatural route where they actually have to fight their way from hell to get out of hell. You see him crawling out from the ground. Something like that's cool.
Right.
Or if you go the route where the entire film is Prison Break, like, Three from Hell could be the bowels of the prison. Like, they're in the shit. The shittiest of shit. And they gotta fight their way out of the prison. And the end of the movie is them finally escaping.
Right.
That would be cool. But anyways, it was just disappointing for me. I'm always gonna watch Rob Zombie films.
Me too.
I'm excited to see what he does again. Hopefully his next movie is better.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's,
number All right, our three. Number three is Ma. Mm. That is directed by Tate Taylor.
Who has directed... this is great.
Who has directed The Help.
The Help.
Get on up. And Girl on the Train.
And Girl on the
None
Train.
None of those are a horror
genre. And so that's... Okay.
And it was... I hated this movie.
This movie just sucks.
Because for the sheer... I have a teenage son, and...
I have a teenage stepson.
Correct. So I think
it's the same person.
Holy shit. That if you teach the whole core of don't talk to strangers, don't go into a... If a strange middle-aged lady agrees to buy you alcohol and then tells you to come out to her house in the middle of the woods to party...
In her basement.
In her basement, you say no, thank you.
And you can't go upstairs no matter what.
You can't go upstairs no matter what.
Yeah.
Come, teenage children, to party. And then, just right off the bat, no.
Yeah.
Find another place to party.
Yeah. At the most, as a teenager, it would be, she buys you the booze. Okay, cool. Thank you. This is awesome.
Right.
We actually found an adult sucker into getting us booze, but we're not going to go party with you.
No. I have a great place to party. Follow me.
Yeah.
It's your house.
No.
In the middle of the woods.
Have these children not seen horror movies or anything?
At all,
kind of
ever? Or did their parents teach them never to go into strange people's basements? I don't, just the whole thing. And then it wasn't even, okay, so if I could get past that part, it still wasn't scary. It was still wasn't, the worst she did was sew a girl's mouth.
She sewed someone's mouth
shut.
Up,
that's it.
And painted a kid
white.
I can't remember what else happened.
was pretty much it.
But didn't she, you know, I can't even remember. Didn't she kill her mom or something? When there's something upstairs? No, she had a daughter.
She killed one of the, Luke Evans, one of, so her whole basis of.
She wanted to get revenge.
She was
picked on when she was a kid.
There was some, I believe there was some in the dark blowjob action that turned humiliating for her. And so she basically stalked the children of the people that did that to her and then killed the one. I don't know. It wasn't bad.
All of it was bad.
It wasn't entertaining. It just was extremely irritating and frustrating the entire time I watched it. I was really happy it was over.
The trailer made the movie look like it was going to be something different. It was a good example. That had a really good trailer, I think.
Right.
And then the movie was just awful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't like it. So let's jump on to another one that was tricky for me to not put at one, but... One is, we'll get to one, but two, and this is going to be a controversial one too. A lot of people enjoy this movie. A lot of people think it's a masterpiece.
Right.
A lot of people think this director is amazing. I don't think any of the above are true. Number two is?
Midsommar.
I
don't know.
That movie's a pile of shit. A big steaming pile of shit, and I hate it.
I
hate that movie.
We wasted 2.5 hours of our lives.
It's
That's
gone.
What I felt like. Gone. Yes. It was just gone. 2.5 hours gone.
Yeah. No.
That's another case of like Ma. If I am going to a
foreign country,
and
I understand common sense in a lot of horror movies is kind of gone.
Right.
But this one, they're trying to take it seriously. So I should take your character seriously. And your characters are making the terrible... They're dumb. They're stupid.
Well,
they have zero common sense.
If I'm flying...
No sense of survivalness. Nothing. None.
If I'm flying to Sweden...
Mm-hmm.
And before I can get on this compound, commune, village, cult, whatever you call it...
Yeah.
Before they will even let me enter the grounds of said village, I have to take mushrooms and trip balls.
So let's tell everyone what this movie is about. So it's about a group of people that go to another country to a cult that they know nothing about, and then they die.
Yes, that sums it all up.
That's it. And everything you think is going to happen happens. Like, this is a horror movie. This is billed as a horror movie. These kids are going to another country. That's what's going to happen. One thing I can give, it looked cool.
It looked cool. It
Neat.
Was.
So what? Fuck this movie.
It was, and it was in the daylight.
Yeah.
That was a big, it was a horror movie in the daylight.
Shut up.
I don't care.
Yeah.
If they would have looked at the walls on all of the buildings, on all of them, they had pictures of what the fuck would have was going to happen to them if they would have paid an ounce of attention.
I know.
The only one I get, okay, so the girl,
mm-hmm.
I get it. Her mom, her parents are dead. Her sister committed murder-suicide with her parents.
She is hanging on to sanity by a thread.
By a thread. So I get her being checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're just drugging you the whole entire time you're there. So like her, I get.
Yeah.
As far as like just what she, I don't know. I think she was trying to hold on to that shitty boyfriend that she had. But it was just all, I did not like it. No. I get why people would like it. And like you were saying when we watched it, if you want to write a thesis on a horror movie, have the fuck out.
Yeah, which made sense because like one of the whole plots of a couple of the characters is they're there for their college thesis.
Right.
And I think that's the type of person that's going to like this movie is if you're a fucking film student and you need to write a thesis about a film, you'll pick this one.
Right.
Yeah.
The only, I did enjoy, they do good gore.
Their team does good gore.
Great gore team.
But to what end?
Yeah, it was...
Yeah.
Why is there a bear in the middle of the compound? Oh, don't worry about it. It's just a bear. No, excuse me. Can we come back to the fucking bear in a cage in the middle of Sweden in this fucking village?
Yeah. And
no, don't worry about it.
you couldn't latch on to any of the characters.
No, none of them were.
I didn't give a shit about them. I thought they were all pretty dumb. I didn't like them.
No, that it was all just. I would have all looked and been like, we're all leaving together at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're taking weapons with us and we're leaving.
Yes.
But I also would be like, I have to take mushrooms before I can walk in here? No, thanks. Yeah. Because I'm not in the best mental state and I don't think that I should be taking mushrooms and having a fucking trip.
Yeah.
That's not going to end well for my brain.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
It's not a good, I didn't like it. It's not a good movie.
Yeah,
I don't recommend you see it. I think this director is the new, the new M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, you either like it or you don't.
Yeah, where this is The Village. This director's The Village, where people could like it or they don't.
Well, I liked the other one. Hereditary was great.
Hereditary was fine.
I enjoyed that one.
I liked the actors. It was constructed well, and I think this one was a miss for me.
Agreed.
I'll be hesitant to watch another one of this guy's movies.
Agreed. Especially if it's 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, shave an hour off if you're going to tell a story like this. God damn it.
Fuck.
Okay. You're not The Shining, Midsommar. You're not The Shining. Get over yourself. All right. And number one is...
The Dead Don't Die. Fuck this movie hard.
I love how much you hate this movie.
I hated this movie so bad because they just made it because he could. And that people would go see it because there's big names in it. Bill Murray,
this movie,
Adam Driver.
Is a waste of time.
It's a waste of fucking time. And also, it pisses me off on so many levels. Like, I was so... Like, I don't even think we finished it. We turned it off, did we not?
No, I finished it.
Okay, I walked away.
I think you checked out mentally. You're like, I'm going to go over here. And you came back. You popped in here and there.
I couldn't do it. Because they were literally like, oh, why did you say that? I said it because the script told me to say it.
Yeah, okay.
Fuck you.
So The Dead Don't Die is a zombie movie, right? So it's a small town... Zombies start happening, and Bill Murray, Adam Driver, and Chloe Sevigny are the cops. So you expect a fun little horror comedy. Well, you have talent like Bill Murray, Adam Driver, Chloe Sevigny, Tilda Swinton, Steve Buscemi, Danny Glover, Iggy Pop.
Huge talent.
Tom Waits. You had this director pulled together all of his friends and like, let's just get money for this and make it and just hang out, I feel like is what. It wasn't funny.
And people are going to buy tickets just because your names are in it, and I'm going to make money. Ha, ha, ha. Fuck all of you people for paying however much you paid for a ticket or to rent this motherfucking movie.
I know. This is one where I want my money back.
Yes.
Like, for these other ones, I get it. You got my rent money. You got my rental fee.
You got
my rent money.
Holy shit, where did you go to see that movie?
You got my theater money. You got my Redbox money. Whatever. I get it. But this one, I want my money back. Oh. I want my $2.50 from The Dead Don't Die back from renting it at Redbox.
Yes.
Jim Jarmusch, he's kind of an indie director.
Is a prick. He's a fucking prick.
High five. We just high fived if you're not watching. But he directed Dead Man with Johnny Depp. That one was cool. I liked Broken Flowers with Bill Murray, but this film sucks. It's a slap in the face to horror, I feel.
It's a slap in the face to movies in general.
As a viewer, you know, you're trying to make, you want to entertain someone, and if you're advertising something like this, a horror comedy with zombies starring Bill Murray, like, deliver. You know, don't be an independent weird director and be like, ha, 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 I gotcha.
Ha ha, you paid and see this.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
So hard.
There's scenes in it where Bill Murray and Adam Driver are sitting in their cop car, and when they're in their cop car throughout this entire film, they go meta, mm-hmm. and there's like a conversation where Adam Driver says, this is going to end terribly, or something along those lines. And Bill Murray's like, well, how do you know? And then he's like, well, I read the script. I saw the ending. And Bill Murray's like, the director gave you the script? And he's like, yeah, I got the script. So it's just, it's so bizarre. And then a UFO shows up.
Oh, there was aliens? Oh, even fucking better.
Yeah,
aliens.
You missed that part.
So, okay.
And there was no gore. When they kill zombies, like, they turn into weird black bad CGI dust. It's not good.
So, okay, you employed a bunch of people. Great. However, you just, to me, that's wasted money.
Yeah.
You wasted money. And it was probably a considerable amount of fucking money.
Well, you know, I bet you they didn't. I bet you they made back. I bet they made money off of it.
Which pisses me off.
Yeah.
Even more.
I think it upsets me just as a filmmaker trying to get a bigger budget when you see people doing things like this.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's an audience for people that are like, yeah, man, I get it. It's funny. It's funny in how it's not funny. Oh, like, no.
The meta.
Again, fuck you.
Just all the fucks.
I'm big on entertainment and delivering
yes.
what you're saying and what you're advertising. And like, that's not what the Dead Don't Die do. Ma didn't do that. You know, things like that. False advertising.
Huge false advertising.
Bill Murray, you let me down. You get a pass, but come on. Come on, buddy.
It was just, yeah, no, I was,
yeah.
I don't think I've been that angry at a movie in a while.
Yeah, you got up and left.
I did. I was like, fuck this movie. Are you serious? Did they just say what I thought they said? Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. I'm out. I don't think I have ever been that mad at a movie. And not because of.
I think it was like halfway through, like we kind of looked over each other and like, do you like this movie? I'm like, no.
No.
I'm like, no. And then you were like, oh, God, good.
I know. I was like, I'm sitting there like, please don't like this. In my head, I'm thinking, I don't think he does. But on the off chance that I'm wrong. Because if I'm wrong, and then I'm going to have to be like considerably like what the fuck are you thinking that you like this? Anyways, yeah. That.
So our worst five films of the year are It 2, Three from Hell, Ma, Midsommar, and The Dead Don't Die, with an honorable mention going to Happy Death Day 2. Now, on a positive, Happy Death Day 2 was entertaining.
It was entertaining.
And that actress, I don't know her name, but she did a good job.
She did.
It was shot well. I think it was directed well. But again, false advertising, it's not a horror film at all. What little Happy Death Day 1 had as a horror genre is gone in Happy Death Day 2.
Agreed.
They
jumped the shark.
There was a sliver of horror in it. It just turned into
science.
It turned into a high school sci-fi film.
There was science. There was a time machine.
Yeah.
And then the government got involved.
At the end of Happy Death Day 2, the government shows up and be like, yeah, we got to recruit you to stop this time flux thing. Like, fuck off.
Fuck off. Yeah. That was like, really?
Yeah.
So that was our honorable mention. But again, it was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
You still were entertained.
Yes.
It was funny.
Mm-hmm.
None of the top five were entertaining.
No. Entertainment goes a long way.
It does.
And that's why they're movies. They're supposed to entertain you.
They are.
Yeah.
I mean, entertain you and sometimes make you think, but.
Yeah. But even though there are all these worst, all these shitty horror films this year, it's good that there are more horror films in the theater now.
There is.
And that there's movies for us to put on a list to talk about that are, you know, bad.
Agreed. And what we were talking about the other day is all of our top five, or most of our top five, have really strong female characters.
Yeah, yeah. The top two, Crawl and Ready or Not, strong female leads.
Huge strong female
with,
leads.
With complex characters, not one note.
Right.
Oh, running, getting killed, which is cool. Those are good characters, but I'm really glad that strong female. And our number three, Annabelle Comes Home. Those were all the main cast was
all women,
young
women, yeah.
Young female actors that I think they overcame it together. So yeah, that's really cool. I know in my stuff, I like to write some strong female characters,
which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think even Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Yeah, that was a strong little female character.
It was.
Pet Sematary had some. Yeah. our Midsummer had idiotic female characters. The Dead Don't Die had idiotic female characters. Ma really
all of them had zero common sense and were idiots. None of them were strong. All of them were fucking morons.
They also equally had idiotic and moronic male characters.
Yes. That is very true. All of those was like, what the fuck?
So if you haven't seen them, go see Crawl and Ready or Not for sure. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, Annabelle Come Home, and Pet Cemetery. We recommend those.
Yes, absolutely.
Do not spend your money on Midsummer or The Dead Don't Die.
Unless you're ready to write a thesis and you're all about, you know, deep diving, theorizing on the colors and what this means and
then
talking the juxtaposition of relationships or what the fuck ever. I don't know.
So.
All right.
Yeah. Well, we should probably, let's wrap this up. Cheers.
Cheers.
You know, hopefully 2020 we'll have more rad horror films.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah. And all, to clarify, we didn't get to see all of the horror movies that came out in 2019. So I'm sure there may be other ones we're going to see, and then we'll be like, oh, man, that could have been on the list.
Like, I know we didn't see Dr. Sleep, and that made a bunch of lists.
Right.
So... Anyways, well, our Bloody Marys are dead, and so are we.
Drink in moderation and enjoy life and death. And we'll catch you next time.
This is Bloody Mary Podcast. Bye.
The Bloody Mary Podcast.